Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans, our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have a great show coming up for you, but first we want to thank some of the sponsors that help make this show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare Lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so you can always jump on to the discussion on our Facebook page. Coming up later on the show, we'll be joined by Mr. Brad Wallace, the Division Chair of Transportation at Bishop State, and one of their top-notch instructors, Mr. Thomas Prater. They'll give us the latest on the nation's trucking lines, training schools, and the push by the Trump administration to train and hire veterans to drive the big rigs. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Do You Have a Flag? But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great friend of the show, Ms. Corey Gaston from the Waterfront Restaurant in Daphne. Corey, welcome back to SBN, and thank you and your crew for your service to our veterans, military, and first responders.
Thank y'all, as always, for having me on.
Miss Corey, it's that time to hit that back porch.
It is. It is Nick's favorite term, favorite season of the year. He calls it patio season.
Patio season. It's so true. But, you know, I was looking at some of your Facebook posts there the other day, and on these football games on the weekend, you guys are running more than just one or two. It looked like you had a series of them.
We can play up to four different games throughout our restaurant. We've got over 10 TVs inside, and I've got three TVs outside on the patio as well.
Can somebody have a football party with
one this weekend? Yeah.
A college and, you know, 20, 30 guys get over there, have their own TV for their own football game and just have their own separate little party.
Exactly. We've got different patios you can rent. I've got an inside room. We've got places in the bar area. This weekend, we've got a big group coming to watch the West Virginia game.
Yeah, I saw that.
Saturday.
Is there that many people to watch West Virginia game?
They're expecting a crowd of about 50 to 60 people. So,
holy cow.
Yeah. There is a big group. You know, one of our employees, she graduated from the University of West Virginia, and that's where she got her start, was the Panini Pete at the University of West Virginia.
Oh, okay. I know that little sweet lady. Okay.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
So we've got some connections there. But, yes, you can rent it out, you know, or you can just, you know, bring a small group and watch at your table. But like I said, you know, we've got over 10 TVs inside and 3 outside, and the weather's going to be getting perfect here shortly.
Yes.
We've got fans, misters, all that to keep you cool. Then great drink specials now on the weekend.
Oh, really? Okay.
We've started happy hour. We're back in fall season, 7 days a week from 2 to 6.
Okay.
So with some great happy hour food and drink specials.
So if somebody comes in there and they'd like to watch a Pacific game, they just ask their lady there and tell them, mm-hmm. I want to watch such and such game?
As long as we get it on DirecTV, we'll be happy to put it on for you.
Yeah, but in other words, they don't just have to sit anywhere within the facility. Y'all will let them get where they can see the TV that you might already have on.
Correct, yes. We've got the girls up at the front have a little map of what TVs are playing what game. I know where to sit you so that you're sitting by the game you want to see.
Holy cow. It's unbelievable, but it's really neat. I would say it's the best waterfront restaurant in the Mobile and Baldwin County area.
Well, I'm biased, but I have to agree with you.
Now, I would have to talk about Sunset Point, but it's not actually out on the bay.
Exactly. It's kind of tucked in a little bit, so you don't get that expansive bay view. It's definitely very pretty down there. I'm not saying that.
No, it's awesome.
But they don't have the great bay view that we have.
Right. You know, I was talking to Nick and Pete earlier a couple of months ago, and they talked about maybe they would be later on down the road that they would be able to deepen the water that's in front of the waterfront restaurant, and some of the people maybe even be able to bring some of their smaller boats in there.
Well, we've got the one pier open that you can dock up against, and boats can get in there, but they do have in the works with the Lake Forest Homeowners Association to get the other two operational as well, and they'll have to do some dredging and stuff there.
But they're still doing a kayaking out from that area, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, you can kayak, and the boat launch is right there, so it's deep enough to get into that one pier that is operational. So,
goodness gracious. Any new specialty foods that you're working with? Now, everything I've ever eaten there was unbelievable.
Well, we've actually started a lunch menu that started last week, and it's Monday through Friday from 11 to 2, and it's got a couple of different options on it than our normal menu. We've got a fried fish po' boy on there, a tuna BLT, a salad and gumbo.
That's a good meal there.
Exactly.
Yeah, salad and gumbo.
Like lunch grilled shrimp. So just a couple of different options for lunch, and it all includes a tea or soda with it for $14.
Ooh, so that's
it is a lunch deal.
That'd be a good lunch deal for someone that's got an hour for lunch.
Exactly.
So y'all push that to be a real quick lunch break so they can get in and get out, huh?
Exactly. I mean, we still carry our full regular menu as well, but, you know, this is just something quick for people to come in, enjoy lunch, you know, on their lunch break from work and be able to get back to work.
Well, I tell you what, my favorite is the shrimp and oysters.
Oh, I know it.
And when they get away from that meal, then they're going to have to get away from me, because if I get in there, that's probably what I'm going to order.
Exactly. I know that's what you're going to get. You need to try the trio, though, next time you come. It's shrimp, oysters, and then the flounder comes with that.
Oh, well, you know, I did eat that one time, and it's awesome. But at my age, I can't eat that much food. Y'all put so much on the dang plate.
That's why I can't eat those. That's why the lunches are great for me, these new lunch specials, because they're smaller portions for lunch, and they're the perfect size for me.
Okay. Did I see where Pete's at Grand Canyon or something?
Yes, and he is safe.
He is safe. I was wondering. Yeah.
Yes, they are safe.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate having you on. Appreciate you helping sponsor the show. And as usual, you guys have an unbelievable menu, and the atmosphere is awesome. Thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Bye. And as always, you can visit us from Scuttlebutt Network for more information. And on the other side of the break, Brad Wallace and Tommy Prater, Thomas Prater, that is, from the Transportation Division at Bishop States, when we return on the Scuttlebutt. And we got to hurry the heck up here. You let me cut off too quick. Come on, big guy. Hey, let get the old man squared away. Boom. See there? There you go. Okay. Run my jaw more.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, you can always catch our regularly aired programs via the FM Talk 106.5 app or the FM Talk 106.5 website under their podcasts. And Tom's tirade is up on castbox.fm. And it's an honor to be joined on SVN by the Smokey and the Bandit from Bishop State, Mr. Brad Wallace and Mr. Thomas Prater. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us on SVN.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, man, the Smokey and the Bandit, that's pretty cool.
Glad to be here.
It's nice to have you on. Brad, good to be able to talk to you again. I see you brought your ace with you.
That's right. I don't go nowhere without him. He keeps me straight.
It's kind of like some of us other old folks. We got to have somebody to go around with us to beat our difference.
Exactly.
When we stir up all the stuff, then they can handle it. You know what I mean?
You got that.
Well, Brad, just about every day that we turn on the TV now, and over the last 6-8 months or a year or so, we're seeing the severity of the problem that has established itself in America with our truck drivers in the fact that we've got a lot of people driving our tractors and trailers and hauling freight all over the United States. And they have a CDL license, but they were never trained to utilize that license and to properly handle that equipment. And not only that, they don't understand English.
Yes, sir. And unfortunately, the industry is in such demand of drivers because this lifestyle is really, really hard on somebody. And it's hard to keep people doing this job, so therefore they reach out with their lobbyists and get laws changed or bent or even disregarded to get people to fill those seats, and now we're in that situation.
Yeah, but that we're seeing the severity of all the accidents and the damage that is incurred from all these non-properly trained drivers and guys that can't read a stop sign. They can't read a direction on a sign where they need to turn off. The only thing I could figure, they're driving up with the GPSs.
Yes, sir, and they're using their phones as translators and anything else they can do to try to get around.
But Brad, I was in the trucking industry for about 10, 12 years when I came out of the Marine Corps. And one of the biggest problems that we had was the height of our trailers that we were pulling and the height of the bridges and obstacles that were on the road that we had to traverse. And what I'm wondering is how are these people getting most all of the interstates are 13.6 or 13.8 or something like that when the trailers are 13.6 so they can get under them. But if you get off of that interstate, you're going to get into an obstacle. It's like going through our old Bankhead Tunnel here. You're not going to have the clearance, and they can't read the sign, and hell, they're going to tear something up.
And that's exactly what happens. Yes, sir. It's scary to know what's out there and how it got that way.
And Thomas, I know you've seen it. You've got a lot of road miles too. You run all over this country, racing ARCA and NASCAR and all the other racing series that you worked in and worked through. And you, as young as you are, I know you see it out there. What do you think about it, son?
Well, the biggest thing that I see out there when I'm driving down the interstate is most of these drivers didn't come through Bishop State truck driving. The students that we put out are very proficient. They're ready to take that entry-level job, to enter into the workforce. We take a lot of pride in making sure that our students are ready to go and make sure that they can go to an employer and keep getting that 3 to 6 months training before they get put on the road by themselves.
Right, right.
We like I said, we take a lot of pride at Bishop State in making sure that our students are ready to go to the job, of the entry level job, that you know, to an employer that's going to really take them under their wing and really get them going. But like Mr. Brad said, the trucking world is not for everybody.
Right.
If you can make it past that first 6 months, you're usually, you know, gonna be a lifer to where you're gonna be on the road for 30 years and retire from it.
Well, and it's a good wage, Thomas. I mean, you know, they make a good living.
Oh, for sure, for you know? Sure.
Well,
for somebody that's unemployed or looking, you know, maybe working fast food or something like that, coming to Bishop State for an 8 weeks and coming out of there, I mean, they're guaranteed to make at least $1,000 a week wherever they go. I mean,
right.
They hold the ticket in their pocket as long as they can stay off the drugs and keep a clean driving record.
Right.
They will always be guaranteed a job.
They'll never be hungry.
That's for sure.
They'll never be hungry if they do that. Well, that being said, we see where the DOJ has closed like 200, it was either 207 or 270 of actual driving schools that weren't schooled as much as they were just a farce of selling the license. If they showed up one day, then they paid for the license. And, you know, they probably paid $4,000 or $5,000 for them and got the license and moved on. It wasn't even a driving school as such.
Well, Mr. Brad actually did a lot of research on that today. I'm gonna push that question to him.
Okay, go ahead, Brad.
He's well versed in it.
Right.
Yeah, I went to the FMCSA's website today because they haven't announced what schools they'd actually closed. They just gave us a number. So I'm gonna find out. At least I checked Alabama to find out, you know, what schools they closed in Alabama, and it was quite a few, but most of them for Alabama was because of they didn't have the right facility or the paperwork or didn't have the qualified instructors. Only the third-party schools, which we're a third-party school also, we do our own testing of our own students, none of them were on that list.
Okay.
And Aaliyah is really good about standing over us and making sure we dot our I's and cross our T's to before we give out a CDL. So I feel very confident that none of the schools in Alabama now, I didn't check the other states, and I don't know who's third party over there or what, how they did, which one fared, but there were quite a few in Alabama that they closed, but none of them were a third party school like ours.
Okay.
And so I feel strongly that the college system schools are doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
And we're the largest truck driving school in the state of Alabama with how many students we put out, our equipment we have, our facility. It's a struggle because truck driving is really highly regulated.
Right.
And
right.
If the problem is the feds don't have enough people to go in and check everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always ready for that pop-in visit. So I'm not going to get caught with my britches down and not have my T's crossed and my I's dotted or what. So it's a strange world when people start throwing money at you. And we've had people try to come in and you know, buy a license from us before, and we just turn around and we report them. And
right, right.
I usually take a picture of their license and hand it back to them and say, I'll see you later.
Right.
And I report it to Aaliyah. But it's real tempting sometimes for these schools that don't have the students that we have, and they need money, and, you know, money makes people corrupt.
Well, you know, I would think, Brett, that being said, that your college driving schools would all be on the up and up, more so than an independent driving school.
Yes, sir. We got more people looking over our shoulders. Our program is certified through SACS, Southern Association of Colleges and Schools, so we have to do what we say we're supposed to do, and our curriculum follows the federal regulations for in the beginning, it was entry-level driver training. It first came out in 1988, and we have been following that same curriculum even till this day.
Man, that's awesome. I know that we're about to run out of this section of our show, but we're going to take a break here in a little while, and we'll further our conversation if you guys have the time to hang with me. There's some areas that we want to cover, and especially now, the fact that the president has made a statement that he would like to fill these jobs where the drivers have been removed from the highway for due to lack of proper qualifications and improper certification, and really not can't speak English. And are not that great with the vehicle. So I know y'all have had some experience with some of our veterans as they come aboard. And we'll go to that area here when we come back. But and one of the other areas that I'm familiar with is being in the veterans events and things that we've been in for the last, 30, 40 years here, is that some of the drivers have trouble trying to get their money and get paid for that. But I understand with this new bill that's possibly coming out that's going to be alleviated or eliminated. So I think it'll be interesting to further our conversation along. I appreciate you guys staying on and hanging with us.
Yes, sir. We'd be glad to.
All right, brothers. Hold on a minute.
Men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyers, Colin and Kimberly, and all the fine lawyers and folks over at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ms. Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's Hottest Eatery at the coolest location, the Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, and the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agents, as well as Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And again, we are speaking with a couple of guys searching for Sally Field and a hound dog, Brad Wallace and Thomas Prater from the Transportation Division at Bishop State.
Dang, guys he's loading you up, Eddie.
I know, he's got
he sure
going
is.
On. Yeah, Brad might want to sick his bulldog on you, Cal. But, you know, we're just talking about the deal, and from what I can see and what I've heard from some of the guys that got involved in it, trying to go through the VA as such to get your CDL license takes such a long period of time that, I mean, you can't wait. I mean, you got to go do something. You got to make groceries for your family and yourself. So I know you guys have probably run into some of those things down there. But now, I stretched out the last couple of days and started trying to get with the people from the workforce that are supposed to be in charge of trying to get our veterans into some of the training and some of the schooling all around here. And they have access to the money, supposedly, as also they also would try to give a company, when they hire a veteran, a discount and help with the OJT, on-the-job training, and tax breaks if they do hire a veteran and keep them for a year. Now, the president indicates that he would like to fill the slots that we're talking about that have been eliminated by some of our veterans that are just coming out of service that actually may have been drivers in service and are capable of driving, and to get those into the certified schools like you gentlemen run. And so my question to them was, well, what about how quick we're going to get paid and how long is this going to take? Said, oh, it's going to be immediate. I said, well, how do we know that? They said, well, we're in Huntsville the last 2 days, and we're actually in school, having school and training about this particular item. And I said, well, will you be available in a couple of weeks to come on the air and discuss that with us and kind of give us an insight about what the changes are and what the new parameters are that we'll be working with? And they indicated that they would. So I'll be getting back in touch with you guys. But I'm sure that you've had some instances where the delays on it weren't, you weren't happy with that. Because the guy trying to get his license wasn't as happy with it as much as y'all were, because you didn't have any control over it anyway.
Yeah, right. So, go ahead, Mr. Brad.
Well, you know, to get the VA benefits, the veteran has to kind of jump through some hoops, and
right.
It gets frustrating for them. They do pay. And Alabama, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Alabama's kind of ahead of the game. They've already let if you're a veteran and you were driving in the field, you know, in your division or whatever, Alabama will kind of fast track the license process. So the veteran does not have to do a driving road test. They do have to do the written test, but they can get their license without having to do the road test. With what the president's going to do, it's just going to help fast track that even further. So being, you know, an Alabama resident and getting an Alabama license is already a plus for a lot of the veterans. And back in a few years back, GIJobs.com had wrote an article on schools that were veteran friendly, and Bishop State is one of the top names in that magazine.
We do
everything we can to help, you know, the veterans.
Right. I saw that in my investigation here, you know, last couple of days about this, was the fact that Bishop Truck Driving School was one of the most elite in the country in what you guys and you know, and that's a big rap for you guys on what a great job that y'all are doing, and you and your instructors that you have. So yeah, kudos to you guys.
And really, it's Bishop State as a whole. All the programs that Bishop State offer right now are great for anybody that's looking to change their career or get into the workforce. I mean, there's so many great opportunities at Bishop State right now. I mean, I could spend your whole radio show talking about them. There's so many.
Yeah, yeah. And that's neat. But the other thing is that when some of these guys go to school and all over there, and especially we're talking about veterans, you know, tonight. But if we get a veteran that gets through one of those classes over there and gets certified in it, I mean, there's all kind of programs for a company to ascertain not only a good employee, but a veteran's already trained. He knows
exactly.
That he's got to go. He knows that he's got to get up in the morning. He knows he's got to go to work. He knows he can't be tolerated with drugs, you know, and drugs and all, and not be able to pass a drug test. So it's helpful for an organization to entertain their thoughts and ideas of going ahead and hiring a veteran. But, yeah, I'm pleased with what you guys are doing, because I've actually helped through workforce put some of these guys to work, you know, in some of the facilities here in Mobile.
Yes, sir. I've even got three or four veterans as my employees as they're training the drivers.
Really?
A veteran is two or three steps ahead of the regular public, because of their discipline.
They already have the discipline and training.
And yes, sir.
And so many people off the street right now don't have that.
Well, this afternoon I was messing with one of our instructors, Jim Somersell, and I said, yeah, I can't wait to go on Mr. Tom's show this afternoon and tell everybody that we got a Civil War veteran teaching up there at Bishop State.
That's my cousin, man. Quit bad-mouthing him. We went to grammar school together.
I know. I said, man, you got to be at least 120 by now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember him in third grade.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but that's awesome. And I'm glad to know, Brad, that you've actually made that statement, because I hear that so many times from a lot of our companies, you know, that they're out there looking for our veterans. And that's one of the things we like to promote on this show.
Yes, sir. I'd hire a dozen of them if I could. My only stipulation is what Bishop State will let me do.
Well, I understand. You're working for the state, and you're working for a college, and there's always somebody that's got more authority than you have, and they're going to tell you what to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you just have to live with it, and ignore it, and move on, do the best you can, and try to stay within the rules and keep from getting locked up.
But Thomas can talk you through the process a veteran has to do to get his VA. He handles that part of it for me.
We've got a couple of minutes. See if you can go through that on a short basis, Thomas.
Yes, sir. Pretty quick. Obviously, you got to get with the VA and fill out the paperwork. Well, first you need to get with Bishop State. There's a lady by the name of Rochelle French that is the VA coordinator at Bishop State Community College. You need to get with her, become a student at the school, and there's some paperwork that you'll need to fill out that Bishop State has to give to the VA. And once the VA gets that paperwork, they say, hey, we got your benefits here, you're ready to go to school, and then they communicate back with Bishop State, and then we can get them registered, we can get them in class, and we can get them going. Now, the good thing is that obviously if they can use their VA benefits, they need to do that. Obviously that's a great thing for them, but there's other ways that we can get them into school and get them funded right now.
Okay.
Obviously you could go through the Alabama Career Center. You could try to go through them. A lot of the guys or girls will go through the vocational rehabilitation, which they have a VA branch there that they could go through. And then also right now, the Alabama Community College System has a grant/scholarship that they're doing called Pathways to Prosperity.
Cool.
And okay. Once they become a student at the school, they can apply for the scholarship. And if they meet the stipulations, which it's a new thing, so I'm still not 100% on what the stipulations are. But we've had a couple of students funded through there, and all they want you to do is go through school, fill out their questionnaire, and go get a job.
There you go.
So they don't want you to pay it back.
Well, listen, we're going to get some more information coming down the pikes here, I'm sure, and pretty soon. Let's get back together here in a few, three or four weeks when we could get some additional information, and let's have another interview here online. Hey, guys, I appreciate you being on here. Both of you are friends of mine, and I don't know about Thomas, though, but
as long as you don't lump me in with my dad, I'm okay.
Oh, okay. Don't lump you in with the big man. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Bless you guys. Appreciate you so much. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you,
Tom.
All right, buddy.
We fight our country, and those in the air, on land, and sea.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station. Coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The recent death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota, has sparked debates in this nation on numerous topics in ways that few other tragedies could. Of course, the gun-controlled Nazis in the Communist Democratic Party had to blame the event, not on a bad cop with a history of conflict with the deceased, but on the phantom menace of systemic racism within local police forces. And of course, systemic racism within the nation, dating back to Al Sharpton's felonious representation of Tawana Prawley. Of course, Sharpton is from that long line of the progressive left whose hearts lay less with the victims of tragedy and more with the heart of pushing an agenda. And, of course, in the immortal words of Rahm Emanuel, never letting a good crisis go to waste. So in the wake of words of the community organizer-in-chief, many have begun calling for what Michelle Antoinette did in the early days of the campaign, a fundamental transformation of this country. Guns are no good, of course. Cops are quite possibly even worse. And they both should be removed from the hands and communities of law-abiding citizens of the country because, respectively, they are just too damn stupid to know how to use them, and they are too damn stupid to know their place, except that they both provide a constitutionally guaranteed right of self-defense for the millions who lawfully use their firearms to protect themselves, and, of course, the police utilize the same. That they both also guarantee a citizen prepared to defend itself against an overreaching government, and more likely the reason that anarchists and progressives choose to demonize guns, cops, and those who support the Second Amendment. Probably one of the most glaring ironies of the Floyd protest slash riots slash anarchy slash violence slash shooting slash unlawful occupations slash destruction of personal property slash destruction of personal dreams slash hedonism on display slash attempt to overthrow our national institutions slash the malicious rewriting of our nation's history is that his death has largely been forgotten since the race-baiting Al Sharpton spoke at his first of many memorials weeks ago. A fact that seems to be lost on progressives, Marxists, communists, and their pawns, including their accomplices in the Democratic Communist Party and their state-run media, all advocates of eliminating the Second Amendment and overturning the Constitution. And while our laws, based on the Constitution, may guarantee that these groups have a right to protest in peace, the shootings, lootings, violence, and theft memorialized in the aftermath only highlight that it is not law-abiding citizens who commit these heinous acts, but criminals who disregard the laws to commit their crimes, a fact not lost on the silent majority of this nation who mourn the loss of Floyd, but who also decry the daily losses due to gun violence, gang violence, and drug addiction due to the inaction of the Marxist progressives at every level, local, state, or federal, in the House of Representatives where Nancy Botoxi rules the roost. Considering that she has not advanced any legislation on race relations in the aftermath, I would imagine that she realizes that even in the wake of such a tragedy, she would be on shaky ground to push such legislation in an ostensibly Republican-controlled Congress. Who says she is not pragmatic? The news of the Floyd's death impacts us all. It was another example of abhorrent violence in a world that has seen far too much of it. Like so many of our prior tragedies, when it comes to this statistically minuscule instance of white cop on black suspect death, the nation's attention turned, albeit briefly, to discussions of compliance to law enforcement. And then, as time went on, those things left the headlines and life continued. Except, in this case, even though the issues of respect for law enforcement and access to guns still exist, we have a new scapegoat. A flag, and oh my gosh, big bronze statues. They are a convenient target, of course, and they make it much easier to take a stand against a piece of history than it is to try and address the larger, tougher issues related to black-on-black violence and the growing race-baiting industry we have in our country. It's easier for the politicians and the pundits and the public to rail against the flag and the history of our country, but it doesn't move us one step closer to preventing a more race-baiting violent riots from happening again. What it does do is widen the chasm that exists between blacks and whites in this nation. Just as the fantasy of white privilege did not descend to place its knee upon the neck of Floyd, the Confederate flag wasn't even an observer to the act.
One can only wonder if the outrage would be the same if the killer had posted pics on social media holding a hammer and a sickle, the flag of ISIS, or a pride banner. I somehow doubt it. And in the end, removing the Confederate flag and similar memorials from our national concerts will do little to stop. And they are mentally deranged from committing acts of violence against others. Today, in our current climate, it serves as a political rally cry for the Marxist, Communist, Progressive Democratic Party, and those of its ilk, while deepening the racial divide in this nation. And, just maybe, stoking the fires of hatred in the next deranged killer. A sad but true commentary. Some have commented that it is time for the Confederate flag and statues to go. Become a museum relic. Major retailers are refusing to carry Confederate merchandise, and no surprise, corporations are running from anything to do with Dixie. Most are saying that the move has little to do with the riots, but rather that the flag is simply too controversial and offensive to a small minority. Better let it go than to stand up for the individual's freedom of expression. Hell, from what I'm hearing, they want to erase the Duke from history. I mean, what the bring it on! I only hope that those who are capitulating today on the stars and bars will remember that many in that same minority are joined by a growing group who have the same feeling about the stars and stripes. And mark my words, that one day, and it may not be in the distant future, there will be a cry to remove our national flag from the public square because it is a rallying cry for those who love what this nation and what it once stood for before that transformation. Just something to think about. The Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
And we built up empires. We stole countries. That's what you know. That's how you build an empire. We stole countries with the cunning use of flags. Yeah. Just sail around the world and stick a flag in. I claim India for Britain. And they go, you can't claim us, we live here. 500 million of us. Do you have a flag? We don't need a bloody flag, it's our country, you bastard. No flag, no country, you can't have one.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program, Voices of Veterans for Veterans, 106.5 and streaming live on Scuttlebutt. Did we lose Cal, or where did we go off here?
No. It dropped off just a second. I just got back in.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, but I just opened it back up, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just caught the you open it back up there. But, yeah, great you know, tirade there, Tom. Obviously, that comes from the archives. But I brought it back up because, you know, it's been a while since we were in that sort of climate where they were removing statues and changing names of our military bases. Of course, nobody had a problem on the left with changing the names of military bases, but they get upset when we want to change the lake to Lake America or the Gulf to the Gulf of America.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, this is just over the past week or so. They continued the capital there, Richmond in Virginia, removed three Confederate-linked statues. Of course, these were all military statues that they removed. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of folks don't realize is, you know, yes, you had the Confederate, you had the Confederacy and the Union, but, you know, a lot of these, especially the generals in the Confederacy that have these statues erected to them, you know, a lot of them attended West Point.
Hmm.
And, you know, at that time, it was a very different mindset. You know, even though you might have all gone to West Point and, you know, and your classmates served together, you know, when you were still loyal to your state. So when the state seceded, that's where you went.
Right.
And, you know, it was, I think it's just interesting that we continue to see this happening. And all it's doing is it's just really removing history from the town square. You know, at Arlington Cemetery, I was watching a documentary on them removing a monument to the Confederate soldiers that are buried.
Man, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, Confederate soldiers that are buried in Arlington, but that was the whole concept.
Yeah.
Was that you? That was going to be a national cemetery. And, of course, you know, in the wake of the Civil War, you know, there were attempts made to say, look, you know, we had a war, but, you know, we're past that. Let's move forward. And it's just funny that we continue or we have that being brought up again here in our modern era. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. Glad that you joined us. Hopefully you'll join us again. Until then, please keep our heroes in your prayers. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. Catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!